Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, earned a degree in business administration and management from Spring Arbor University. From 1990 to 2007, he was a president of Meadow Green Landscapes, a leading landscape design construction business. Since 2011, he's been the founder and president of I Like Giving, a movement that has inspired over 130 million people in 170 countries to live generously. The host of the Wow Factor Leadership Podcast, his name, Brad Formsma. And I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Brad Formsma. Thanks for being a guest. Can we start, Brad, by you leading us in an opening prayer this evening?
Of course. Lord, thank you for new days, new friends, new opportunities to share how you work in the lives of your kids and the way that you connect us all for greater good. Amen.
Amen. All right, Brad, you grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The DeVos family, the Van Andel family. Talk about growing up in Grand Rapids and also about your mom and your dad, please.
Well, I lived in Grand Rapids for 43 years, and it was an incredible time. I'm the oldest of five. Was born in 1970, so those of you that like to do math can do a little math there. But grew up with a family of grandparents who were both business owners, one smaller business, one bigger business, but both really modeled what I would call the generous life, and we'll get into a bunch more of that, sir, later. My parents were wonderful. My mom stayed at home and made things all work while my dad was working his tail off in his business. And so that was the start.
What's the biggest thing, Brad, you learned from mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
Well, I probably learned from dad work ethic, and from mom it probably had a lot to do with her consistent prayer life. She modeled this quiet faith, but a powerful faith. And not only would you see her in God's Word regularly, but she was a prayer warrior and is a prayer warrior.
All right. You have a ministry of I Like Giving. It's around the world. And arguably, the genesis of that came from your grandpa. You have great love for your grandpa. Talk about your grandpa.
Well, Jack, grandpa, sometimes we do things in our life without perfectly pure motives, or I should say I didn't, back when I was 10, 11 years old. And I was the oldest of five, as I mentioned. We immediately went from three kids in our family to five when mom was notified within just 30 days of her due date that she was going to have twins. And so our family was in a complete spin out. We were chaotic, and it was a lot. And I found myself tagging along with my grandpa to his commercial baking company just to escape the chaos. I wasn't much interested in diaper changing at that age, as you can imagine. And so he really, when we would go out and do things for other people, we would often bake 16 loaves of bread, and then when they would cool off, we'd head out and he'd bring loaves of bread and a kind word, a generous word, an encouraging word to widows that he met from church or the community. And then, of course, he would oftentimes give several loaves of bread and a letter of recommendation, or several loaves of bread and a monetary gift. So he modeled different ways of being generous. Wonderful, wonderful man.
All right, talking about a kind word and an encouraging word, you actually still have a letter that he wrote to you when you were 14. Dear Brad, Winston Churchill said, "You make a living out of what you get and a life out of what you give." I think this is well worth remembering. Love, Gramps. You still have that letter?
Still have the letter. And I actually photocopied it so I can keep the real letter in a very comfortable place that it's not going to go anywhere. But, yeah, it's a powerful thing. I have it in the back of my Bible.
We're talking to Brad Formsma. If you want to learn more, www.ilikegiving.com. Brad, what were your dreams and inspirations growing up?
Oh, I wanted to make a lot of money. And I wanted to have a lot of financial success. That was what drove me. And I would, admittedly, not a good leading motivation.
All right. You marry Laura in 1991, but in 1990, you start and become the president of Meadow Green Landscapes in Grand Rapids. Talk about that 17-year chapter in your life.
Well, Jack, I am an entrepreneur at heart, and it was actually, funny enough, the fastest way to make money, which might show a lack of maybe some of my creativity, but we started with a lawnmower and in high school, and my buddy Carl and I, we would go out and mow a bunch of lawns. And then fortunately, one thing happened where he needed to go work for his dad's business. I got to spend more time mowing more lawns, and then eventually we got involved in some significant landscaping projects over the years in the West Michigan area. That would include the Meyer Gardens and some of the work for families that you mentioned at the beginning of this call. And really what I found was that was preparation time for me to learn about people. I quickly saw certainly some economic success in the business, but I saw two different kinds of people. I saw givers and takers, and the givers seemed to be happier and funny enough, actually seemed to have more most of the time. The takers were more stingy and more irritable and generally speaking, more negative. And so I was like, man, there's something going on here of what my grandpa modeled to me and what I'm seeing. And that kind of set me up for where life was going to take me after those 17 years of Meadow Green.
You married Laura in 91, so that means you're going into your 32nd year. Do you still cut the lawn for Laura?
Well, I live in Southern California. We don't have much grass here. So, you know, I think actually I'm not interested at all in weeding, in mulch, in lawn care. I got all that out of my system years ago, my friend.
We're talking to Brad Formsma. When we come back, we're going to ask him what's the biggest thing he learned in those 17 years of running Meadow Green Landscapes. And I'm Jack Vasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Vasula. We're with Brad Formsma, who's the founder of I Like Giving. It's about experiencing the joy of giving. I quote him now, "We all have something to give. Giving goes way beyond money and things. It can be a listening ear, a touch, or simply the gift of time. Giving is living." All right, what's the biggest thing you learned, Brad, in those 17 years of running Meadow Green Landscapes?
Well, listen, as an employer, I learned it's all about the people. It's all about the people that help you with the vision for the greater good. And in fact, just this past weekend, I was able to bump into one of my former employees from Meadow Green that I hadn't seen in 13 years. And he attributed not only the company he's started since then, but also the way that he handles his employees and the way he views his business is what we had done at Meadowgreen, which to me was an incredibly high honor and certainly some delayed gratification from that business.
I quote you again, you learn in rows, but you grow in circles. What does that mean?
Well, I'm sure I got it from one of my good pastor friends, but I think what it means is that you can be sitting in an auditorium, you could be sitting in a church service, and someone's speaking to you, and you will absorb content and you'll learn things. However, your true growth, and I would say development, is going to happen when you're in relationship with several people, and that might look a whole lot more like in a circle than, you know, in a row.
When and how did your relationship with Jesus begin?
First of all, I would say I think I was one of the best make believers that you could find. And for those of you that need a little unpacking of that, I just think I had a head relationship with Jesus, but not a heart friendship connection with Jesus. That changed in 1998 when my son was born. And we did a little baby dedication, and I said all these nice things about what I wanted Dan to do and be grown up for, you know. And when I walked out of there, I felt like the Spirit of God said, you need to mean it or reject it, but right now you're not living for me and you're not surrendered to me. And so that really was the turning point where I said, have your way with me, Lord. And ever since then, I've been walking with Jesus.
All right. In 2007, I Like Giving started by a simple story called I Like Bike. Please.
Well, we can blame that one on the Grand Rapids Press. One day I found a newspaper article that talked about a Sudanese father and son who were firebombed out of their village. And someone had given them bikes, okay? So there was a father and son. The bike was the dad's ride to work, and the other bike was the son's main toy. And all they had was bikes and clothes on their back. Somebody had sponsored them into an apartment in Grand Rapids, and we set out on a wild goose chase because of this newspaper article, because we learned that in the article, someone came along and stole their bikes. And I said, what should we do? And my oldest son said, we got to go get them bikes. And so we jumped in our van and we headed out. And sure enough, when we got to them after 4.5 hours of driving all over the city, the people who sponsored them were not cooperative in disclosing their location. All the dad could say is, I like bike. I like bike. I like bike. And we drove away. And that was a powerful day for us because from the back of the car, my one younger son said, that was way better than us going to the water park today. And I thought, there it is when kids learn the truth, that it's better to give than receive. I'd tell that story to people and they'd come back and say, I like down coats and I like Taco Bell and I don't, Jack. But that was the beginning of the story movement at I Like Giving.
Okay, you're running the landscape business. Laura's happy, the kids are happy, Laura's parents are happy. But then you decide in 2007 to sell the business and spend full time leading this I Like Giving. Laura's parents might have said, what is wrong with you?
Well, I write about that in my book, and so that certainly was an interesting time. But, you know, when you believe that you've been given a vision, you have to decide, am I going to grit and work and strive and probably pray, not in that order? You just need to go for it. And so that's what I did. And you look back on it and you say, it was a great decision. Not all my decisions have been good. So a lot of trust. You know, you develop trust when you step out. And as I've read in the Bible before, and I think it's the Message translation, when you're at the end of your rope, there's more of God and less of you.
All right. Tell us about I Like Giving.
Well, I Like Giving is all about inspiring people to live generously. And so story is one of our core values. And along with doing things with excellence and along with being generous ourselves as an organization. And so we accomplish our vision by three initiatives: generous business, generous family, and generous classroom. So if you'd like, I can briefly explain those.
Please.
So inside a generous business, we work with leading companies or that are led by good-hearted leaders to inspire a culture of generosity in the company. Oftentimes it's there. It's already one of their core values. But we come in as a added benefit, as a added perspective, and we teach the seven ways of living generously. Inside of Generous Business, we have a top-rated podcast called The Wow Factor, which stands for Words of Wisdom from Extraordinary Leaders. And you'll probably ask me a few questions later about The Wow Factor. And then Generous Family. We have a program, Jack, that is called Generous Students for Homeschool. And so we believe in the power of families talking and learning from a biblical perspective about the generous life and those seven ways. And then finally, Generous Classroom. We have a program for Catholic and Christian schools across the nation that kindergarten through eighth grade, every grade is different. Every grade progresses and kind of keeps up with the learning style and age of the students. But it's all, again, around these seven ways, which I'll now explain to you. Generosity of thoughts towards ourself and others, that's number one. Generosity of words, generosity of time, generosity of money, generosity of our influence, and of course, generosity of attention, followed and lastly by the way we share our belongings. And so those seven ways, everything we do in those three initiatives, we show people how they can give daily, weekly, and monthly.
Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote a lot of great music. One of the greatest musicals of all time was The Sound of Music. And there's a lyric in there that says, "A bell is no bell until you ring it. A song is no song until you sing it. And love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love isn't love until you give it away." And Brad Formsma says, "Life is meant to be given away, and as you give, more will be given to you." When we come back, we're going to ask him about that quote. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Brad Formsma. I quote him again. "Life is meant to be given away. And as you give, more will be given to you." That's the old golden rule. Is that still true today, Brad?
I think it's true more than ever, Jack. And, you know, what I'm trying to say in that is when you go to work and you earn, and then you turn around, and one of the seven ways of being generous is money, giving money. You're giving your life away, right? You gave part of your life to get it, and then when you give the money away, you give it away.
We're talking to Brad Formsma. Since 2011, he's been the founder and president of I Like Giving, a movement that has inspired over 130 million people in 170 countries to live generously. Brad, you mentioned in the last segment seven types of generosity: thoughts, words, time, money, attention, influence, sharing our belongings. If there's a listener tonight that says, I'm very busy, I've been generous with my money, of which I have a lot, but I don't have time for those others, what would you say to him or her?
I would say, I love you and you're missing out. You know, oftentimes the money giving that we do happens in the fourth quarter of the year or maybe once a month to your local place here or there. Or maybe you're, into the transaction or the automatic debit once a week to your church. But think about all of the opportunities to be generous in those other ways in those 168 hours that each week present to us.
If you want to learn more, www.ilikegiving.com. Brad, I understand generosity of thoughts, generosity of words, generosity of time, money, but what do you mean when you say generosity of attention?
Well, I think it is maybe, just maybe, the highest form of being generous. And I would say that the other day I was out for dinner with my wife. Actually, it was more like a year and a half ago during COVID. And we live in Southern California now, and we're out in a parking lot under the tent. And it's, you know, we're trying to make it a nice dinner date night. And I made the observation to her, like a bonehead guy, look at all these people that came out to dinner with their cell phones. And she said, kind of like you. And I said, oh, no. You know, I didn't even realize how much I wasn't being fully present with her. Or there was a day I picked up my daughter from school, and I had my little white ear things in to catch the next cell phone call. And she was pouring her heart out. I didn't know, you know, 14-year-old girls have drama. I had two older boys. I didn't know, Jack. And by the time we got home, she said, Dad, you're not here. And it just hit me. I blew it, and that night dinner was cold, not the food, but the temperature in the room. And, oh, I would say it was probably about 8 o'clock that night. I got the tap on the shoulder that I believe was the Spirit of God saying, now would be a good time to go apologize and make it right with your daughter. And so sure enough, I apologized to her, and I realized that it is very powerful and very important to be fully present and generous with our attention.
All right, one more. Generosity of influence.
Well, Jack, that's as simple as look how we're here. You walked up to me with your friend Mike Timmis, and Mike introduced you and said you should be on Jack's program. And so I think Mike was being generous with his influence. One day, I got a call from Dave Ramsey. He said, you're the giving guy, as he calls me. I want you to come down here and be on my radio program. And 14 million people heard me on his radio program. He was being generous with his influence.
All right. You're the author of I Like Giving, The Transforming Power of a Generous Life. Do you really believe that by giving it would transform my life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, there's been studies done beyond the Bible. If that's not enough proof for you, my friend Stephen Post wrote the book, Why Good Things Happen to Good People. And they talk about how if you're generous, you'll live 10 years longer and take half the medicine. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me, Jack. We haven't even talked about the better relationships we have in our life when we are generous.
You're from Grand Rapids, the birthplace of Amway, Rich DeVos, Jay Van Andel. And I went to a number of Amway rallies in Michigan through the years, and they would bring in this guy, Zig Ziglar, the greatest motivational speaker of our lifetime, Brett. And his first book was See You at the Top. And 41 times in that book, he says, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want. That was true, you know, in the late 70s, 80s. That ain't true today.
Oh, I think it is true, Jack. I don't think those kind of things change. I think the reality of it is it's a mindset. So when you start to think about others more than yourself, I would argue that your focus and your motivation for what you want shifts. It's true that it's better to give than receive. That's always been. Many people have quoted it. I think you and I would agree that the author of that was the carpenter from Nazareth.
All right. You wrote another book, Everyday Generosity, Becoming a Generous Family in a Selfie World. What do you want us to take away with that book?
Well, we really wrote that book, my son and I. He was 16 at the time, and he really felt that he was supposed to write a book. And I said, well, that sounds really interesting, but, you know, why don't you go get some confirmation on this? And so we live in Southern California, so he would Uber to school. And one day he was driving home, and the Uber driver said, is your last name Formsma? Must have come up on the app or something. And he said, yes. And the driver said, is your dad's name Brad? I've heard him speak. And here's what's happened in my life because I put into action those seven ways. And Drew said, well, that's interesting. I've learned a lot from my dad, and I actually live generously myself. And the Uber driver says, kid, you should write a book. And so he came in and said, I think God's confirming it. The Uber driver said I should write a book. And so him and I set out to write this book on principles that I had learned, but it's in his voice. We really care about this next generation becoming lifelong givers. And that's why, you know, he's on our team, and that's why we find it so important. You know, if you're listening to this and you're involved with homeschool or you're involved with traditional school, go to generousclassroom.com for those traditional schools. Go to generousfamily.com for your homeschool program. They're uniquely built to help you have a generous family. And in part, the summary of some of that work is this book that you speak of, Everyday Generosity.
We're talking to Brad Formsma, known as the Giving Guy. And he's inspired over 130 million people in 170 countries to live generously. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist, who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Brad Formsma. In 2020, he started the Wow Factor Leadership Podcast. Brad, what is it?
The Wow Factor Podcast came out of this past election. I looked out there and I said, there's so much negativity, and yet I travel all across America, and it's not adding up because I'm meeting good-hearted leaders everywhere. And so we decided to start the Wow Factor Leadership Podcast. WOW stands for Words of Wisdom from Extraordinary Leaders to Help Others Grow in Their Business and Beyond. And so we are nearing 200 guests, and those guests come from all across the world, largely the United States. And we find over the course of a 45 to 60-minute conversation, we can pick up a lot of wisdom that helps leaders apply that to their life. And, of course, every episode, Jack, we ask the guest, what is their wow or their word of wisdom? And I think we've only had two double up. It's amazing how many insights and perspectives people have. But when I listen to our recordings of the Wow Factor and I edit them and we really want to honor each guest, I find a theme. And the theme is that good-hearted leaders give and serve, albeit maybe unique ways in their organizations, but it's powerful. And it's powerful, and it's impactful, and it helps people grow. And so it's now a top-rated podcast across the globe, and I certainly encourage people to tune in. Each Wednesday, we have a new episode that launches.
All right. We've been blessed, you and I, to have one in common guest for sure, who grew up in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He served three combat tours in Iraq as an F-16 fighter pilot, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. Tell us about Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney.
Well, I've enjoyed my new relationship with Dan. We are going to be together later next week, actually. But what I find intriguing about him is I'm not a good golfer and I don't know how to fly a fighter jet, but I also can learn from him in his approach to life. And two things really stuck out to me. He talked about how he needed to reassess his relationship with alcohol. Not that he was getting drunk or anything like that, but it was just this being fully present, and I would use the word generous attention, with his kids. He'd come home and on our podcast on the Wow Factor, he talked about how, you know, my fifth grader's going to get me a beer and then another one or whatever just to take the edge off. And he said, I'm not the best version of myself. And that really is the first thing that resonated with him and me. What am I doing in my life that is making me not be the best version of myself? Number two, he is a pescatarian, which I thought was a word that he made up, but it really, it means you eat fish or once or twice a week, and then you just eat a largely clean, you know, plant-based diet. And that struck me. And so starting February 3, I made those changes and have seen incredible results. He didn't tell me to do it, but again, a good-hearted leader who's fit and in shape and wants to be around for their grandkids seemed to make a lot of sense to me, so I went for it.
He also started Folds of Honor, and he raised over $130 million and has awarded nearly 25,000 educational scholarships. All right, another man, David Green.
Well, David has been a longtime friend of mine since 2008, and I've had the privilege of bringing CEOs to meet with him several times a year, and he's also been a guest on the Wow Factor. You know, he was one of those people that I asked him what was his least favorite subject, and he said school. So he was not real excited about school. He was very excited about work. And, of course, he's gone on to build a tremendous company.
Being Hobby Lobby, and if I'm correct, Brad, recently the Green family gave Dallas Jenkins, the producer of The Chosen, $40 million for season 4 of The Chosen. All right, I quote you again. If you don't share your story, you will bury your story. I'm not a good storyteller, somebody says. What do you say to them?
Well, you don't have to be this wonderful communicator to share your story. Your story, you're the only one that has it. And the point to that is talk to your kids and grandkids about where you give, where you met your spouse, where you got your first job. Bring them into things beyond the current football game. Talk to them about your story. You will learn things about your legacy that you're going to want to know. And so we just believe that there's modeling that can happen from this. You know, there's a research project that recently came out that even though there's a lot of craziness in the world, kids still see their parents as their primary voice of truth. And so when you share your story with them and when you share your past, they're going to listen. Even if they don't act like they're listening, they're listening.
We're talking to Brad Formsma, the giving guy, www.ilikegiving.com. The greatest storyteller of all time was Jewish, and he was a carpenter. What's the two or three biggest things we should know about Jesus?
Well, he was an extraordinary storyteller, the best one ever. Without a parable, he spoke not, I think we read in the Bible. But beyond that, he was the best listener and then the best question asker, probably not in that order. And so there you have it. That's all part of being generous with your attention, isn't it, Jack?
That was a terrific answer. As our time winds down together, could you lead us in a closing prayer this evening?
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the way that you work your story through our lives. Help us have our antenna up, looking for ways to be generous with our thoughts towards ourselves and others, our words, our time, our money, our influence, our attention, and even the way we share our belongings. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, thanks for Brad Formsma and his entire team of I Like Giving. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahol.
Believe in yourself.